So this evening we're going to work with equanimity, which is the fourth and final, I guess you could say, heart practice. And it's a culmination of all the practices together. So we've talked about equanimity a little bit today as a seventh factor of awakening. We've talked about it in the realm of it being a heart practice. And as much as I don't like to be goal-oriented in practice, I think it's somewhat safe to say that the goal of mindfulness or the goal of meditative practice is the development of equanimity. So there's two sides of equanimity. There's the wisdom of equanimity, and then there's the compassion of equanimity. And so the wisdom of equanimity is just being able to recognize and to see what it is that's arising right now. There's a way in which wisdom knows what is happening. And on the basic view or perspective that we're being asked to hold in kind of a Buddhist framework is, again, this reality that life is a both-and scenario, that life is both beautiful and tragic, and life is both has pleasant emotions and unpleasant emotions, and there's destructive scenarios and constructive scenarios, and these kind of this wholesome and this unwholesome. And there's a way in which life is actually quite dual, you know, and we have to come to terms with that in a way that's manageable. We want to come to terms with that in a way that works for us. So there's sort of the understanding of that, which is probably the easier part of that. And as you hear that, you're probably like, yeah, that's true, and maybe unfortunately, but that's how it is. And that we want to learn how to have a constructive relationship to both of those scenarios. So equanimity, the compassion or the empathy of equanimity is being able to really understand and to practice kindness as a general everyday form of experience. Can we practice kindness in our lives, you know, regardless of the recipient and all of the negotiations and who deserves our kindness and who doesn't deserve our kindness and all the ways we withdraw, we withhold to ourselves and to other people? Can we just be more kind? And I think the world could use a big dosage of kindness right about now. We wouldn't, it's just, you know, it's really not that. It's not an advanced skill. You know, being kind is just, you know, very simple task. So then also, can we be more compassionate to ourselves and to others? Can we have more empathy?
I agree, it's not advanced, but it's unused.
It's unused, yeah, there's not a lot of people using it. You know, it's everywhere. You have to take as much as you want. It's freely offered, you know, in the human experience. And also, I didn't mention this, and I'm shying a little bit away from it these days. If part of compassion practice is in some insider Buddhist traditions, they would include the practice of forgiveness. The main reason is that the timing-wise, we didn't have enough nights to do all five of them. And I really think forgiveness is a beautiful thing, and I'm not trying to make a case against forgiveness. But also in the Buddhist lexicon, it's not a traditional heart practice. It's something that kind of got added in the Western flavor. Jack Kornfield, Noah Levine, a lot of people use forgiveness, and in the Theravadan tradition, they do practice and use forgiveness. And of course, forgiveness is, you know, I would say a beautiful and important thing, except for the fact that sometimes people want to forgive before they're ready. And I think that people can get rushed or forced or maybe new to the practice and they hear about forgiveness. And, you know, when I think about forgiveness, usually when you think about forgiveness, the mind just immediately goes to the unforgivable, just right away. I hear forgiveness and I go, and I automatically have a drop-down menu of the things that I'm not willing to forgive. And so I think that there's a way in which I do teach forgiveness practice. I do think that it's important, but I'm very careful of the dosage or the delivery in which I do that, and I find myself teaching it a bit less. Because especially in a group like this, in a public forum, or even on a retreat when there's 40 people that I don't really know, you know, you can re-traumatize people, you know, and I'm not interested in that so much. So I do want to just say, in sort of an equanimity way, I do think forgiveness is very important, and I think that at some point we need to take a look at it and maybe practice some, and we also need to be careful that we don't get confused about what forgiveness is, and we don't start trying to forgive scenarios that we're just really not ready to do that yet. So I'll just politely put that aside.
I don't know when the right time is to feel it or process it enough to know that you...
I think that's a conversation you need to have with other counsel and people and kind of... and sometimes we just know, like, if you're ready or not. But I think that people sometimes can get rushed into it or think that they're, you know, they want to be free from the burden of the resentment or the harm that they think that that's going to, like, you know, they have so much suffering about a harm that was done. They think that if they have the forgiveness that they'll be free from the harm. And that's not always, that's a little risky. And so I get that more from my clinical background than I do from my Buddhist background. I've seen it not go well in firsthand experience. So, and then, of course, appreciation. We want to be able to appreciate. We talked about that last night, this sort of way. So equanimity actually would, if it's equanimity is in its full fruition, it's all of these things I'm talking about. And it knows what's happening. It recognizes what's happening. And it knows what to do. So there's a two-fold system that, so in a situation, I might recognize that I have some suffering going on. I'm giving myself a hard time. There's some grief in my life. I recognize that, but that's half the game. Now I need to apply the proper relational feel to that. Oh, man, I need to have some compassion or at least some kindness to myself in this experience. So it's kind of this equanimity is kind of this balancing thing of just kind of knowing what is true and what can be done, what is true, what can be done. You're not going to get it right all the time. But it's not, and also, too, I think equanimity, having a therapeutic background, do you know this word? Is this part of a therapeutic lexicon, equanimity? Is that a word you find in textbooks or anything?
No.
I haven't found it in textbooks. I mean, I use it with whatever verbiage I have for it.
Yeah.
It's mostly in the Buddhist teaching. Yeah. It hasn't made the mainstream, because I think part of it, too, is that forgiveness, you know, forgiving your perpetrator is so controversial for exactly what you said.
That's right.
Exactly what you said, because we push somebody to forgive, or mm-hmm. we give them that false idea that if you forgive and have all this love for your perpetrator, all the pain will disappear.
Yeah.
And that's a false promise. So
that's a very false
yeah,
promise.
Yeah, I think it's hard to translate psychology.
Yeah. So that's another problem, problematic nature of the word equanimity is it's a word we don't use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in like, you know, in the work of the Ekmans do with cultivating emotional balance, this is what equanimity is that we're cultivating emotional balance.
Yeah.
So we're able to recognize the emotional experience and we're able to receive it and to respond to it constructively. Doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant. Doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging. Doesn't mean it's not going to carry with it that level of difficulty. So again, I think we have to be very realistic about what we can expect with these kind of practices. So equanimity is one of my more favorite topics. I could kind of talk about it on and on, but I think it does. This is one of the when they use the word non-dual in Buddhism, I become very suspicious. This idea of non-dual. I think that we live in a very dual realm, you know, and everything from right and wrong and good and bad and, you know, and pain and sorrow and pleasure and pain. We do live in a dualistic kind of arena of experience. So equanimity is a really beautiful thing because the mindfulness practices and the wisdom practices and the being realistic and understanding all of the stuff that we've been through this week, understanding the emotional timeline and understanding the way that the mind can work, all the data we can get is going to better serve us in our ability to recognize what's happening in any particular complex moment of our life. We want that skill. So there's that way in which we can, through awareness, navigate or become aware of the complexity of the relational field and the emotional field and the psychological field. And we want to be able to respond or to hold that in a way where we're not causing ourselves more suffering or in a way where we're having a constructive, skillful relationship to that. So, you know, that's a lot of things. You know.
Idea of forgiveness that I've heard and used often is that somebody has to, and this fits in so beautifully, somebody has to be ready to give up all hope of the past ever having been different.
That's right. That's a good definition.
And I love that because this is, you have to sit with, you know, really accepting that no matter how I forgive them, the past will have happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is not an eraser.
No. And I think we think that or we're taught that or expect that.
And it's a loaded term.
It's going to make it okay if I forgive you. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You're still going to be an asshole.
That's right.
I forgive you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So I do practice it. I do use it. I do teach it. But I do have a healthy level of sort of suspicion about the dosage and when it might be appropriate to do it. And for us this week, we didn't really have the time. And I in my mind, kind of, you know, I struggle with these things as I teach. As much as this might look like it's all been pre-planned, a lot of it has not. So, you know, I do, there's a wing it quality to all of this, which I think is good, some degree of.
It's impressive. Your mind impressive.
Well, if you're going to, my mind is full, I try to fill it with useful data. Yeah, so that's great. So I think that's probably all I really want to say about equanimity. So we're going to do, this is a system of equanimity that I have developed. That really encompasses, to some degree, all of the skills or qualities that we have kind of been working on this week, starting right with this feeling that we worked on, may I learn to feel. And actually, you know, of course, we think it would be easy to feel pleasure, pain, neutrality. But as you noticed from that whole morning we spent working with feeling in Vedana, not so easy, actually. There's a way in which, and also to this feel, also is that second skill of emotional intelligence, feel access. Can I feel? Can I access? And we sometimes find that we don't actually have access to that emotional or that relational field. So I use this to, I feel you, I know you. I feel you, I know you, which is the syntax or the logistical way in which Vedana is meant to be used. It's to feel and to know and to feel and to know. And sometimes we feel we don't know. I don't know. Or we don't know. So there's a way in which we kind of, if we're going to be honest about the difficulties in our life, we have to be able to feel into those things and know what they are. So there's a little bit of a vulnerability, there's an intimacy, and there's a way in which we can know things in a different kind of way. So that's kind of the mindfulness component. I feel you, I know you, I feel you, I know you. I feel you, I know you, I care about you. And that's kind of another way of working with the compassion practices of I feel you, I see you, I care about you. But now it's I feel you, not so much I see you, I know. You know, I know what's been hard for you. You know. You got all that information right there. I feel you, I know you, I care about you. And so then I feel you, I know you, I care about you. I care about what's been hard. I care about the struggle. I care about the difficulty. And I feel you, I know you, I care about you, I appreciate you. That way in which, it hasn't been all bad. There is some things that I've done that I feel, that I recognize. There's some recognition. I know that there's things about myself that I do appreciate. And I appreciate you. And then we end up in this understanding, I understand you. And so what is it that we understand? Well, I understand, first of all, I understand that I got to keep doing the first four. Part of that understanding is, you know, you have that to-do mind, you want to know what to do, do that.
Back the I feel, okay.
Do that.
I like it.
That's what you do.
Okay.
Five things.
Good, I can do that.
You know, and so I feel you, I understand. And really in the classic Buddhist teachings, what we're trying to understand is also a pretty, I think, simple idea to get behind, is that I understand that my happiness and my freedom is dependent upon my actions, not my wishes. And that's kind of the way that's held, that this is actually Buddhism to some degree is a behavior. And so we can kind of use this constructive, destructive strategy. I understand that my happiness and freedom is dependent upon my ability to have a constructive relationship to my emotions, to my life, to my relations. Constructive meaning cooperation, meaning willing to work with difficulty, willing to deal with conflict, willing to set the boundary that I just don't want to set. Not on my wishes. Now, I don't know about you, but I've want, you know, you ever just, you wanting, which is, again, it's craving. I want things to be different. I want to set boundaries with people, but I don't. The wanting isn't going to cut it. It's just going to string you out. So it's fine and appropriate and good, and maybe the beginning of the doing is the wanting, but it's the doing that is going to determine whether or not you feel happy and free in your heart, in your life, in a way that provides you with some meaning and some purpose. And that's the hard part, is to do that. to do what you know that you need to do in spite of the perceptual database, in spite of the inclinations, in spite of the ambivalence, in spite of all of it, you know. And so that's a way in which we want to try to live that kind of way. And again, you know, we're not going to just walk out of here tomorrow and just do that from now on. I wish it were that easy, but we just want to kind of understand that this is kind of what needs to be done. So part of, I think, mindfulness in the meditative path or the meditative journey is to some degree we, you know, and that's just sort of the million-dollar question we've been revisiting all week, is like, I don't know what to do. Like, I came to meditate, I'm sitting here, like, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? So part of it is these training systems hopefully give us enough of a sense of what we need to do. And probably what you need to do is you do need to practice some kind of meditation probably most days. So there's that's sort of obvious. And then as there's that doing, there's that feeling and that knowing. How do I feel? How do I know? Do I know? Do I know what gets me? Do I know what the struggle is? Do I know that in our conversations, a lot of knowing has arisen and a lot of like sort of vulnerability and willingness to be like, oh yeah, cool. Like I have a lot of this and I have a hard time with that and this is really hard for me and I can see how it would be helpful for me to change that. So that's not bad news. That's actually good information. And so where we take that, and so the way that we can kind of heal or transform or manage those states internally as we're sitting, then when that state arises in life in a circumstance, we're probably more likely to take the constructive or the skillful choice because we're not in that high state of overwhelm. We're able to manage that. So yeah, we'll do some practice on that and get a chance to talk about how that might work or feel. And so this is one of my favorite practices, and it's also the one that's most revealing. So I'll be curious to see what you come up with as we sit. So just kind of let yourself move into a posture. So we'll probably about a 30-minute sit or so, just so we're prepared. We'd like to tell people what to expect. So just let yourself stand or sit or whatever posture you feel is going to be manageable for now. And just bringing some awareness inward to the mind, body, the heart, breath, sensation, sounds. Just let yourself arrive into the full range of mindfulness, what can be known here now, sitting in the body, energy of the body, gravity of the body, temperature. And again, with these heart practices, it's often helpful to allow the awareness to connect with the sensations of the in and out breath at and around the heart center. Letting go of any tension or tightness in the throat or neck area. Feeling into the subtle body, the emotional body, the throat, chest, belly, torso, receiving the in and out breath in that region. And just to see if you can have an empathetic connection with the body, the emotion, and just connecting to your experience in a way that feels real. You're touching whatever might be present in the system without resisting any part of it or wanting it to be other than. then just allowing this perception or perspective in the mind to arise, to just consider as we begin that life has been really beautiful and also very difficult. The reality of joy and sorrow, pleasure and pain, beauty and tragedy, both. It's both. And there you are in the middle of that truth. So equanimity in its Pali form, its historical roots, literally means there in the middle. So just see if you can sit in the middle of that truth or perspective that life is both beautiful and tragic. Has always been this way, will always be this way for everybody. Know that, feel that. See if you can just sit into that dualistic reality that we're in here. And looking at it with the perspective that this is the objective view, this is true for everybody, and this has also been true for you. What is your subjective, histrionic, personal experience of joy and sorrow? Bringing in some metta to that perspective, some ease. That's how it is here. That's actually how it is. It's okay. It's okay that that's really the truth of things, both and. And then just feeling into the truth of that for you, however that makes sense, into the body, breathing through that. And just offering this phrase of, I feel you. I feel you. I feel the truth of you, the experience of you. All of these memories and experiences are still in the body. As they say, the body keeps the score of everything. I feel you. And some metta for the truth of that. May I be at ease with this body, this heart, mind. I feel you. I feel you, and I know you. Just letting those two simple phrases repeat to the system so that all of you gets that message. I feel you, I know you. I feel you, I know you. I feel you, I know you. You can bring the breath into that if you wish. Breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I know you. Just practice with that for some time here. So just to doing this, quality of to doing, just do the feeling, I feel you, I know you, I care about you. And bringing that wish and desire into the system here. I feel you, I know you, I care about you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I feel you, I know you, and I care about you. Just let that repeat and feel that into the body. Let that activity and quality of mind and inclination just repeat through the system. And if the mind gets distracted a little bit, that's okay. Just kind of come back and reset back into the body and breath. And incline this psycho-emotional sense that we have into this, I feel you, I know you, I care about you. I feel you, I know you, I care about you. Expanding a little further, stretching a little wider to add, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, all you've done for me. I thank you. I'm grateful for you. I know that you've done so much over the years, invested so much time and hard work. I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Thank you. Gratitude for yourself. I'm just adding that into this equanimity training of the mind and heart. I feel you. I know you. I care about you and I appreciate you. I feel you and I know you. I care about you and I appreciate you. And just soaking that up as best you can and feeling that into the system. Feeling what's there to be felt. I feel that. I feel you. I feel this. I know you. I know what you've been through. I know what's important to you. I know you. I care about you. I care about the challenges and the difficulties. Care about this life. I appreciate you. I appreciate your effort and hard work. Thank you. I appreciate you. I feel you. I know you. I care about you. I appreciate you. And if you find you can let the breath catch on with that, breathing in, I feel you. Breathing out, I care about you. Just finding a steady pace or rhythm as best you can and seeing how far you can stretch to accompany all of these different ideas to feel, to know, to care, to appreciate. Arriving back into this perspective, if you can understand, I understand that my happiness and freedom depends on what I do, not what I want. I understand that my sense of well-being, any freedom, is dependent upon my constructive abilities, my skillful abilities, not my destructive. My happiness rests on my doing, not my wanting. And feeling into whatever level of willingness there might be associated with that, stepping into this Dharma truth of your experience and doing what needs to be done, regardless, however long it takes, I just learned to have this constructive relationship and attitude to all my experience, all of it. I feel you, I know you. I care about you, I appreciate you. And I understand what needs to be done, and I'm willing to try my best. I feel you, I know you. I care about you, I appreciate you. And I understand that my happiness and freedom depends on what I do, not what I want. Just sitting into the truth of that as best you can for the last few minutes of the practice.